Thank you, Sledge. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk to you today, and I will try to go through this relatively fast to catch up on a little time. I hope all the ginners out there picked out your little spot for your gin. They got some pretty neat programs around where you can plug in zip codes and get them all lined up and that sort of thing, so it works pretty good. And these are the 07 gins that I had access to. First, let me offer a great round of thanks for the ginners who responded to the surveys. I do understand that answering surveys is always not a fun activity, time-consuming, and you know, can be somewhat frustrating. And I know in your positions, many times you get many surveys. So I not only thank those who filled them out, but also thank those who considered it, at least thought about it for a while, and maybe never got to it. Also, I need to thank my co-authors, because without them, this wouldn't be possible. They really provided the mailing list and sent out the survey forms and helped to encourage their members to complete those activities. And they include Kelly Green, Tim Price, Roger Eisen, Dusty Finley, and of course, Harrison Ashley. Just a little bit about where we are and where I think we're going. I want to give you a brief update. You've seen this kind of chart many times before. If we do look at the production, and here it is right here in the black line. This is the totals bales ginned, and that's times 1,000, so that's millions of bales. And of course, this dip down here is what we're all concerned about. You know, I have roughly 13 million bales there, and I guess from yesterday's presentation, there's a good chance that that's going to drop even lower than that. But you can see that's been a pretty steady decline. Of course, we've seen this decline in the number of gins, the green line that's located here. Right now, we're looking at, of course, in 82, I see we had 2,000 gins. 2008, we really have an estimate of 710. And the red line then just gives us our average volume of bales per gin that we're looking at. And of course, no surprise that has dropped off as well. Just a little breakdown on where these gins are located. I'm going to go through this pretty fast. This is estimated 2008 data. And you can see it there with both the west, southwest, and southwest and mid-south. Southeast gins kind of tallied up as well. Just look back a little bit, and we're not looking back very far. This is 2006, where we had 835 gins, and just a little change identification there. You can see the overall, there was a 17% reduction in just that two-year period. And if you look at just the west, southwest and mid-south and southeast, you can see the reduction there. Obviously, the biggest part is in the west, but we can see that all sections of the belt are being affected by this downturn in production. I guess the only one that I have a zero on is Florida, as you can see there. The bright side of this, of course, is our yield trends, and I always like to bring this to the folks' attention. We definitely have, I think, reached a new plateau in yields. You can see this cluster of data that's located in this area. Everything's above 750 pounds per acre. And you can see we topped off even in some cases over 850 pounds per acre. There's a lot of reason for that. There's a lot of discussion, argument, whether it's the new varieties, the new added technology to the seeds. Boll weevil eradication has to be a factor in there. And of course, Mother Nature in some cases has helped people out quite a bit, and that has also been a factor. But we do have a kind of a new plateau of yield. Now, this is probably the worst slide and the one that scares me the most. And that, of course, is what our global competition is doing. Here, and again, I know y'all have seen these types of graphs before: China, United States, India, Pakistan. United States, of course, was clearly always the second largest cotton producing country. You can see the 2006, 2007, and 2008, our decrease in productivity has really shows up there. Folks like in India, does that work better? The folks in India, of course, have had a slight increase in production, as you see, 2008, and Pakistan is at least not dropping any. When these types of these countries adopt some of the technology that we have available, there's a good chance that their yield per acres will go up significantly as well, and we could easily be in fourth place or even fifth place in the national or worldwide global scope. Just to get on and take a look at what we did, I'll go through this relatively fast. I've been doing this every 3 years with my co-authors, and this is work that Bill Mayfield had done prior to my taking over his position. We did conduct surveys 2001, 2004, and 2007, and you can see in the Southeast area, we had 26 returned, to Mid-South, 56, 58, and in the West, 8. From that, I got 148 usable surveys, and it represents about 24% of the U.S. crop. So I was pretty happy with that. When I can get somewhere above 20%, I feel that's not too bad. The types of questions that we've asked, and again, these have been very consistent throughout the years, Our standard bagging and ties cost, repair cost, electric cost, dryer fuel cost, and then labor costs. We break that down into seasonal, full time. And then occasionally I kind of get a little nosy and ask things like some of your gin operational and performance data, what size gin, what make gins. And this year I also asked, when you had repair cost in there, kind of what were the big ticket items that you spent money on? And so I got some interesting data there as well. And then also we ask module tarp cost and transportation cost. Quickly going through some of the results, and for those that have seen it, they may all be gone now. I do have the paper sitting out there on the table. I passed it out to several folks, and if you don't find it there, yeah, there's still a few more out there. You're welcome to pick those up and take them home with you. From the data of the 148 surveys returned, we had 29,277 bales, and we had a overall total cost of $21.58, or almost $22, with a median value of $19.79. A couple of things just to bring out. Of course, this number was down significantly from my last survey, which was I think 83 days that were worked in something like 14 weeks, which is not down as much as I thought. Of course, this was that 07 year was a big year for Texas, and I just looked at some of the Southwest stats, and that year they actually had 105 days of ginning, or 18 weeks, which I'm sure most of them, and that was on average, most of them would like to forget some of that. But then in the Mid-South, we had 51 days or 9 weeks, so we were down quite a bit in that area. Ginning rate has stayed pretty much the same, and the rated gin capacity. One thing that has also pretty much stayed the same, or as compared to last surveys, is our number of seasonal workers per 10,000 bales, and that running about 8. Full-time labor. This is really our management type folks, and that's been about the same as well. you can see I showed picked and stripped and roller ginned cotton, and average module hauling and tarp information. just to show you some of the comparisons between 2001, 2004, and 2007. As no surprise, we're always seeing slight increases in there. Our bagging and ties folks have, as you probably noticed, steadily increased their prices to the gin. And it really hadn't, there hadn't really been a whole lot of factor on gin size. Sure, the bigger the gin, the more you buy, sometimes the cheaper you can get those, but that's really been a very flat line when you look at bagging and tie cost as compared to ginning volume. Repair costs, that's just highly variable depending on the year they had. This 07 year was one year where, you know, Texas ran long and hard, and I could see where a lot of those repair costs were shown in there. Electrical costs, of course, electrical costs have always gone up, but really so many of our gins have incorporated some best management practices, some high-speed operations that really have kind of maintained that electrical cost to some degree. And dryer fuel cost, it's really slightly less than the 04 data. And just, you know, if you have a wet year under wet conditions, then you're going to have high dryer fuel cost. If it's moderate or dry, it's not so bad. And then labor costs were slightly less as well. Again, incorporation of new technology, better management in the gin, we're able to reduce the number of employees that we have working the bale. And total costs are slightly up. Just taking a quick look at what it is across the regional area, and you can see the breakdown. Total variable cost for the Southeast was $20, $19, $23, and $23, which is very standard from what we normally get. A couple of kind of standouts there. We see that our seasonal labor in the Mid-South was quite lower than the other regions. Also, the number of workers was higher, so I haven't quite figured out that right there. I guess we just don't pay them a whole lot. Is that right, Sledge, or I don't know. We'll work on those details later. But what we did see, and like I said earlier, Southwest repair costs were way up for them. And here in the West, they had some very wet conditions during harvest at that time period, and their dryer fuel costs were pretty high, as well as just overall energy costs for the West. Looking at the cost based on the annual capacity, you can see the 15,000 bales or less going all the way to 40,000 bales or more. You see a pretty steady decrease in the number of, or the cost values. Again, you don't see much in the bagging and ties or the purple bars there. Those are pretty much steady across. But you do see it in repair cost, or not so much in repair cost, but electrical cost, dryer fuel cost, and primarily in labor cost is where you can save your money by getting that annual volume up a little bit. I did do what I call a scattershot diagram of the variable cost. And you can see, you know, that as we increase annual volume, we do reduce the overall variable cost that we are measuring. But also want you to note that there is a lot of scatter in that data. There is, for instance, gins that are working in that 40,000 bale area that are really very close to some that are working even over 100,000. If you take that kind of number and do a trend line for it, you see that number's pretty flat. So there is an optimum, I think, based on your ginning configuration of how many bales annually you should be doing. Here's just some additional information on module hauling costs, module tarps, and that sort of thing, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on that. Again, all this data is in the paper. I did want to show you and give you the opportunity to see the kilowatt hours per bale. This is really a very flat line. There is, again, a lot of variability. And one thing I hope that you as ginners are able to take this information, take it back to your gin, go ahead and look at your data, find out where you are on these charts, and then see what you can do. Like Roger Inslee in the back said, this is great information. If you're on the top side of that trend line, then you need to look at it and work to see what you can do to get those numbers down. If you're right on the trend line, then to be better, you need to work to see what you can do to get even below that trend line. So those are important things. I think this is a good management tool for you, and you can use that in your operation. In the past, I've kind of offered an opportunity to let you try to calculate what your overall ginning costs are. And I have a spreadsheet that kind of a worksheet that kind of guides you through that process. And that's available on my website as well. So, and I won't spend a whole lot of time going into that. Just to talk a little bit about the future. Like I said, we've heard from many people that of course, the U.S. production is down, world production is down, and also world demand for cotton is down. So those are not good trends. There's something that we need to really focus on, and when we're in the decision-making capacity for this upcoming year, we're going to be taking a hard look at that. But what you can do on a gin level, you know, increasing the capacity, increasing volume, increasing the value-added products of what you're doing, whether you're increasing lint value or utilizing byproducts, cottonseed and moats and gin trash and this sort of thing, reducing labor, incorporating new technology, improve operating cost. And then many gins have got into where they're just adding additional services. This pretty well concludes what I wanted to talk about. As I've told y'all many times before, this information, and I even broke it down by regional areas, are on my website, and you can see my website there, msa.ars.usda.gov/gentech. If you Google GenTech, you can usually get it, but it's not number one. You have to kind of page down on it. Somebody kicked me out of the number one spot. Now, I said there's two problems that we're seeing, production and consumption, okay? I want to tell you that I am working on doing my part of the consumption. My grandchild, just born December 26, will be dressed in all cotton all her life. And that little girl, knowing her, she's going to use a lot of it. So I'm going to do everything I can do to keep that world consumption at a high level. I want you guys to get out there and do everything you can do to keep the production at a high level. Thank you. If there's any questions.